Support for this podcast and the following message come from the United States Postal Service. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage service. Learn how to gain a competitive edge at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. Some experts say it could take nearly 2 years to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The span buckled and collapsed on Tuesday after being hit by a freighter that lost power while leaving the port of Baltimore. 6 workers on the bridge were killed. From member station WYPR, Emily Hofstetter reports that the Baltimore area is now bracing for environmental issues.
There was some hazardous material on the cargo ship that could have been containers of hazmats, including corrosives, flammables, lithium ion batteries. Some of those may have breached. There is a bit of conflicting information from the Coast Guard and the NTSB. What is important right now is that there isn't any indication that there is an immediate environmental disaster looming from those. Environmental authorities are aware no oil spill protocol has been activated.
NPR's Emily Hofstetter in Baltimore. The White House is still pushing back against Russian claims that Ukraine was involved in an attack on a Moscow concert hall. As NPR's Franco Ordonez reports, U.S. officials have dismissed the allegations as nonsense.
Russian President Vladimir Putin and other Russian officials have sought to link the attack that killed some 140 people to Ukraine and its Western allies. White House spokesman John Kirby called the allegations deliberate propaganda to try to deflect the blame in order to suit their political narrative.
It's abundantly clear that ISIS was solely responsible for the horrific terrorist attack in Moscow last week. In fact, the United States tried to help prevent this terrorist attack, and the Kremlin knows this.
Kirby noted that the U.S. had warned Moscow about a potential terrorist attack and had advised American citizens to avoid large gatherings and concerts in Moscow. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
The United Nations estimates that around 20,000 babies have been born in Gaza since Israel began its military offensive against Hamas 5 months ago. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny has more.
In the southern city of Rafah, 5-month-old Manal has just woken up from a nap. Her mom, Lika Sela, is having trouble finding diapers, baby clothes, milk, and food. New and expecting moms are among those feeling the humanitarian crisis in Gaza the most, says Hiba Tibi, a country director for CARE, an aid organization working in the enclave. She can't shake what one new mom told her recently.
She told me, "I wish I never gave birth. I wish I never gave birth. I wish I didn't have this kid to come to life."
Only about a third of the territory's hospitals are still partially functioning. Illness is rampant, and Gaza health officials say at least 23 children have died from malnutrition. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
U.S. markets are closed today in observance of Good Friday. This is NPR. Attorneys representing Donald Trump in a Georgia racketeering case were in court Thursday for a pretrial hearing. They insisted that the case is about free speech. But prosecutors argue that Trump's alleged efforts to overturn Georgia's 2020 election results was a crime that is not protected under the Constitution. 4 school boards in Ontario have filed separate lawsuits against several social media platforms, accusing them of rewiring young brains and disrupting the education system. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the plaintiffs are seeking $4.5 billion in damages from Meta, Snapchat, and TikTok.
The 4 school boards are the biggest in Ontario, Toronto's public and Catholic boards, as well as the Peel Region and Ottawa boards. They join hundreds of school boards in the U.S. that have launched similar lawsuits. Rachel Chernos-Lynn is the chair of the Toronto District School Board. She says many students are experiencing an attention, learning, and mental health crisis because of the prolific and compulsive use of social media products. She says the apps facilitate and promote cyberbullying, harassment, hate speech, and misinformation, and are addictive and designed to deliver harmful content to students. TikTok has responded, saying it continually evaluates practices to support the well-being of teens, and it will continue working to keep the community safe. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
In South Africa, a bus carrying worshippers to an Easter festival careened off a bridge, killing at least 45 people. An 8-year-old girl survived the ordeal. Another passenger died en route to the hospital. The bus fell 164 feet into a ravine and burst into flames. The cause is under investigation. This is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas makes absurdly soft socks, underwear, and T-shirts. And for every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/NPR and use code NPR.